turning our attention to an issue that we've talked about. A number of you getting in touch with us about this during the week, and it sparked off a bit of a debate amongst our political leaders as well. And this is John Collison of Stripe. His intervention in the running of the country, or his suggestion for how the country should be run better. He wrote a piece for the Irish Times last weekend in which he said Ireland was going backwards. Well, with me to talk about this from the point of view of their own perspectives in their own work as public officials, as public representatives in trying to get things done at a number of different levels, the local, the regional and the national. I've got Councillor John O'Donoghue of the Kerry Independent Alliance. We've got Councillor Mikey Sheehy of Fianna Fáil. We have Councillor Michael Foley of Fine Gael on the Listowel MD. And we have Councillor Johnny Healy-Ray, who's an independent, of course, and involved, of course, day by day in his job in the construction industry. Good morning to all of you and thanks for joining me on the programme. I'm just going to, just for the listeners, just to paraphrase one or two paragraphs from what John Collison said to give an idea for people who haven't read the piece or haven't been following the debate. Ireland can't build quickly enough to keep pace with the demand to live, work and invest in the country. It is Europe's second fewest homes per person. Dublin's water network is going to reach its limits in the next 3 years, which will limit future housing construction. Ireland's household electricity prices are the highest in Europe. It has 41% fewer trains, roads and other transport infrastructure per capita than other high-income European countries, and it has the lowest proportion of electrified rail of any EU member state. To put it simply, we have not built enough homes or infrastructure or sufficiently developed our energy system to keep up with the radical population growth that we've seen in my lifetime. The Great West Transmission Project linking Dublin to the Windy West was shelved in 2017. Proposed nearly 30 years ago, the water supply project linking Dublin to the Shannon still hasn't entered planning. The Greater Dublin Drainage Project has entered its second judicial review. 20 years after it was first proposed, the Dart Plus Tunnel, which would have facilitated hundreds of thousands of homes west of Dublin, was shelved in 2011. The North-South Interconnector has been in limbo for 23 years. Intel, Ireland's flagship manufacturing tenant, picked Germany over Leixlip Kildare in part because of concerns over planning and electricity supply. The pre-construction phase of the motorway projects has extended to 8 years. Metrolink has been in the planning process for 25 years, and 10 years into the housing shortage, the backlog has only grown. Now, that's a big laundry list of things and issues that he's identified, and he's made his argument in the piece that Ireland suffers from too many agencies doing too much of the same work, overlapping principles, a lack of urgency amongst those agencies, and also over-regulation. John O'Donoghue, I'll start with you on this one. I asked you all to come on the programme, having read this and listened to the debate over the last number of days. This isn't really an exercise either in bashing the current government, because whatever government is in power at the moment, we'll say over the last maybe 25 years, these have been issues for those governments, and it will be an issue for the next government, whoever there will be. But what's your overall view on a little bit of what he's saying, as how you found your job in the last while?
Thanks, Jerry, and good morning to everyone listening at home. I suppose it's the truth is that that article was certainly very interesting reading it, but I suppose the truth with a lot of these things, it's somewhere in the middle. He presented a very simplistic version of a very simplistic way of solving the different problems the country faces. I would certainly agree with him that I suppose our country has become almost too bureaucratic. It is, there probably are too many agencies, but again, it's almost like from reading his article, it's like he's suggesting that we need to get rid of all of these and maybe give government the power to kind of do as they wish. And obviously you need due diligence. You can't have a situation arising where there aren't checks and balances. But I suppose just from a local authority perspective, it is something that I find very frustrating, and something I was surprised with when I started in politics was, I suppose, the bureaucratic nature of the politics in Ireland, and the way that if we want to get anything done, say here in Kerry, myself or any of the other councillors could be working on something for months, possibly years, trying to get answers, and I suppose we just don't have enough autonomy over our own affairs. You have to wait constantly for approval from central, from national level, and it does slow the process down. It means it costs an awful lot more when the project is finally approved, and I don't think that's right. I know that there was a report done by the Congress of Local and Regional Authorities in Europe, and that found that Ireland is almost the most centralised democracy in Europe, in that the...
Are you saying that centralisation is leading to delay? Everything has to go up to Dublin to get the go-ahead to come back down here, that it'd be quicker and more urgent if you had power to do things more locally here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the town we're in this morning, Killarney, is a perfect example of that, because up to 2014, when there was a town council here, they had huge control over what they did. And I suppose monies raised within the town or within the MD were used within that area. It wasn't all being centralised, and things could get done much, much faster. It's like, I often think, if I was to be cynical, I think that this was set up so that the local councillors can be working on an issue for ages, and then we have to wait for the TD, the government TD of the day, to appear and announce the project is going ahead to great fanfare. And yeah, most of the mismanagement of funds and resources in this country, I think, have been done on a macro level, not a micro level.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Put on those headphones there. Councillor Mikey Sheehy, good morning to you, and thanks for joining us. Look, what's your overall view on what the debate that's been kicked off by this article?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Gerry. I suppose, number one, it's hard to argue with what's been said by John Collison, and that's the point. These are challenges that have been well known. They've been really well debated. But I suppose seeing them crystallise in one piece by someone with the experience that John has, with the Silicon Valley background, which is a culture of move fast and break things, I suppose it really underlines how slow and how overly cautious we've become as a country. We've nearly built a system that's almost allergic to delivery at this stage. And just, I suppose, moving on just from a point that Councillor O'Donoghue, John just made there, just in terms of local power or lack thereof, there was a number of damning reports published recently. One from the Council of Europe's European Local Democracy Index in 2023, which shows that only 8% of public spending is at a local level. That's in comparison to over 30% in most European countries. I suppose over the last number of years, last number of decades, there's no point in saying those local government has been hollowed out. Power has been taken back to Dublin. And it's nearly leaving, as John alluded to there, it's nearly leaving local councils as administrators rather than decision makers. I mean, if we're looking to deliver in terms of housing, infrastructure, climate action, that has to change. Local authorities need to have the power to make faster calls, whether that be in terms of land use, housing mix, infrastructure, and even in terms of the housing mix debate. You know, it's very frustrating that we don't have an affordable housing scheme, for example, in Kerry, something that myself and a number of other councillors have been shouting and roaring for over the last number of years. An affordable housing project in Kerry would be a huge game changer locally. Even in terms, just to go one further, I suppose, in terms of the barriers that local authorities are encountering, like John said also, I mean, chief executives invariably have to go to departments for approval, even on modest contracts. You're talking about hundreds of thousands of euros. I can't understand why we can't raise the contract approval thresholds, for example, in terms of housing delivery, how we don't have local autonomy over projects anywhere in the region, maybe even 10 to 15 million euros, which will see the delivery of housing locally. And I suppose local authorities are subject to, there's no point in saying otherwise, multiple layers of sign-offs. And that adds to months and even years in terms of timelines, even when we
let me ask you that question. That element of it, you're levels all, and it's a planning permission process the same here. Something will go through a planning application. There'll be an environmental impact assessment. Then all of a sudden what happens is it goes again up to Dublin and the same thing is done all over again. It's reviewed all over again, adding months to a process that's already been done quite professionally at a local level.
Absolutely. And look, take for example a number of projects locally. Take for example the LNG project in North Kerry that has been stifled not just over a number of months. You're talking about years, you're talking about decades for a critical project, not just for Kerry, but also on a national level. I mean, planning permissions are... the planning permission debate is ongoing. There's no point in saying otherwise. We're in the midst of a housing crisis. Planning permissions that are taking months, including in terms of submissions, those timeframes have to be and need to be slashed. And even to go on further, in terms of John Collison in his article, talking about agencies, maybe in terms of reporting or the publication of reports that may take somewhere in the region of 12 months, why can't we slash those numbers down to 3, 4, 5 months? I suppose, look, what I'd say is we probably need to take a step back from this in the overall scheme of things. What I would call for would be twofold. Number one, even in terms of projects, like I said, whether it be the LNG project, whether it be a fast rail system that would connect Kerry to Dublin, why not take hypothetical big projects and map every step, every agency, every report, every approval required? If it takes 12 years, why can't we set a target to do it in 4 years? And we can repeat that process across all sectors, whether it be health, housing, transport, and we'll systematically identify where time is being lost.
Where it's being lost and why it's being lost.
Second point they make is we need more stringent benchmarking and public performance indicators. No point in saying otherwise, transparency works. We need to rank local authorities, hospitals, universities on key performance indicators, Jerry. That's in terms of speed of planning decisions, social housing delivery rates. Nobody wants to be at the bottom of the table. An example I will give you is in terms of the tiny towns. Tralee has gone through a ferocious growth and an incredible increase in their eyeball performance over the last number of years. Why is that? Because it's a published report that shows everybody up. I think we could do the same at local authority level.
Okay, all right. Johnny Healy, I want to get your review on that. And you've talked on this programme before about your frustrations with different agencies, particularly maybe Irish Water, but also the delays in the planning process in this country.
Yeah, good morning, Jerry, and to the other councillors. Look, I suppose the most frightening thing about the article, to be honest, is how accurate and on the button it is. And it highlights the frustration, I suppose, in our planning system. As I've said, look, we've all been on here times with different issues, with different agencies, whether it's Irish Water, TII and others, but nearly every problem that we have is coming back to our planning structure. We as county councillors, I suppose, have become bystanders when it comes to planning completely. We've become bystanders when it comes to zoning because we've to please a planning regulator who's in place since 2017 or 18, who was not in place before. The 33 councillors of this county are elected and should therefore, in my view, are trusted by the people to make decisions on their behalf. Unfortunately, the decision path has been taken away and we're dealing with a planning regulator in some cases that we feel really doesn't have local knowledge when it comes to zoning for housing or other things. And I suppose if we took Liebers as an example, if we were lucky enough that someone like that came into Kerry this minute to set up something like Liebers, if we were just lucky enough, we have it in the Shannon LNG, but we can't get as far as develop it. The sad truth is that I suppose it would take them somewhere between 10 and 15 years to get going, if they would get going. And when you talk about planning and the judicial review, it has been highlighted lately that every judicial review is costing the taxpayer of this country up to €1 million. So if there was ever a case of cutting a rod to beat yourself with, this is it. The taxpayer is trying to develop something and do something. First of all, you apply to Kerry County Council for planning. And if we look at how big the planning department of Kerry County Council has got now between the planning side of it, the environmental office, the archaeology office, that's where the expertise are in adjudicating and planning. They're going by national policy. They're going by our county development plan, and you have experts in that role. If you get through Kerry County Council, and that's a big if we can get our planning application validated and if we could be lucky enough to be granted, chances are you will be appealed to Bord Finale.
Yeah.
And no disrespect to the people in Bord Finale, but believe it or not, they don't have the same level as expertise or departments available to them at all. They're looking at overall. They're looking at the objection or the appeal, and they're looking at what the planner done. So that's two parts to the planning system. If the person that appealed, and they can appeal on environmental grounds, and they don't even have to be specific, Jerry. It can be, we've seen houses refused in this county because the horseshoe bat may or may not be going up or down the port road. You know, we've silly things like this that's hurting and stop. Like, and the only way to have more houses in this county is to build more houses. But I think it is absolutely ridiculous that a person can go all the way as far as your judicial review, win the case because a date is wrong, or something has changed in between from the point of the initial planning process to the day of the court of the judicial review.
And that's the specific problem in that area. Stay with me. We'll come back to that element of it, Johnny. Michael Foley, your view on what John Collison said. You've got long-standing frustrations on a number of things, but particularly, as Mikey Sheehy mentioned, the Shannon LNG project is a major infrastructure project for the country.
Yeah, look, Jerry, I read the article. You have to agree with some of it. Look, like John just said there, he makes things look very simple to be sorted. But it's important that we have due diligence and transparency and everything. But look, he touched on several things there, but he touched where he said that, you know, where we elect people to make decisions for us. And with all the quangos now and the NGOs, this power has to be diminished, taken away from the ministers. And that is one thing I always say that should be given back. Like, you have a crazy situation where you have the likes of NGOs that are funded by the government. And then the government gives contracts to private companies. And that very NGO then will take a judicial review against that company. Like, these kind of things doesn't make sense at all. You have problems with agencies then. They're all overlapping and none of them knows who is the ones that has to make the decision. And then we have environmental goals. He just mentions that as well, and I totally agree with him. And sometimes those environmental goals are stifling development. Johnny just mentioned there about that the development there in Killarney about the bat was using the route and the houses couldn't be built. Like, do you know, I remember when Patrick Donovan was the minister for the OPW. I met him one day and he said that he had huge amount of money in the OPW to do flood defences all around the country. But it's been blocked by several groups putting in objections into it. And like, do you know, where do we go here?
That's an interesting point. I'm going to pause for a break for a second. I'll come back to you because there's an element that's affecting all of this, I think, that needs to be dealt with when it comes to regulation and also through the planning permission process with regards to urgency. We will get to that. If you have a view on what the councillors are saying as their experience of these processes and these delays, then get in touch. We'll have more with them after we take these. Yeah, we're talking about issues to do with delivering and delivering on time and on budget here in the country. We have Councillor John O'Donoghue, we've Councillor Michael Foley, Councillor Johnny Healy-Way and Councillor Mikey Sheehy with us on the line. And look, Michael Foley, I'll start with you briefly on this point, and I want to put it to, in the time we've left, to Johnny Healy-Way and John O'Donoghue as well. The issue you've identified there and the issue that's been identified by other councillors, whether it's agencies or regulation, there seems to be a lack of urgency at the heart of everything. When it goes into a system, whether it's planning, whether it's sketching out a road, whether it's delivering money and waiting for a grant, that things that are taking weeks take months. And there doesn't seem to be any real urgency or pressure brought to bear on local authorities or executives of these agencies to get these things done. How much of these problems could be solved if we either get rid of one or two of the hurdles that are unnecessarily without dumping regulation totally, but this whole element of things taking far too long to go through a process, whether it's planning or otherwise?
Yeah, Jerry, look, the most frustrating part of my job, and I know the lads will agree with this, is the length of time it takes for things to happen. Like, the only way I can compare my being in politics is I worked in the private sector. That wouldn't have happened. The length of time these things take, you'll be brought over the coals straight away. Like, I worked in the factory where we had projects. We had to deliver those projects by a certain time. And I'm telling you, if they weren't available, you would be brought over the coals for it. So, like, there is no, I suppose, I don't know, with the civil service, there is no repercussions for anything that really happens in it. There's no power there. I think that the power of the ministers seems to be completely diminished. So, like,
but is that what a minister should be doing then? Is that what a minister should be doing? The minister's job should be, and we saw a bit of it with Jennifer Carl McNeill getting into the wars with David Begg over inspecting a hospital without managers being present and calling in staff to the Department of Health when she wasn't happy with numbers on trolleys at a weekend, despite money having been put in to solve that problem. Do we need to see more of that across all levels? That's what a minister can do. They can make people more accountable.
But the people elect us to make decisions on their behalf. If we don't make the right decisions, or if the people don't feel that we make the right decisions, when an election comes around, they can give that back to us. Like, I definitely say we have to give back power to the people that are elected, not to the unelected officials. And we have to
Johnny
do something
Healy,
about
it. Your view on that element of it, that lack of urgency in our legal system, and we can talk about legal costs as the major problem they are on another day. But my point being that there doesn't seem to be that urgency there, and no pressure being applied by anybody, or a minister maybe not allowed to apply pressure to get things done, to cut timelines. We're not saying get rid of the environmental assessment, because that's a bad idea. The environment's important. You have to pay attention to it because you don't want to destroy it in the race to build things. But that you should be able to do it in a timely fashion, and we're just not, right across our whole system.
Well, you should, Jolene. I suppose the hardest thing for any, if we take a private business that applies for planning permission today, is, and this is the case in the county, there's people that have gone through the planning process, been granted, appealed to Bord Pleanála, and are waiting maybe up to 2 years or more for an answer from Bord Pleanála. But tis the vacuum of time and the wait. All we really want to know at that stage is, can you or can't you? If we can't, you move on. If we can, you build it. So, for ministers, I compliment Minister Carol McNeill for what she's doing, no more than anyone else running, and Mike Foley mentioned about her factory there, no more than anyone else running a business or a farm or whatever it is. You have to be hands-on and you have to know what's happening, because if it was in the private sector, they wouldn't lash, they wouldn't be there long enough, because there'd be no taxpayer to keep going back to. And ministers, to be fair, to current-day ministers, their hands look to be completely tied, because we've so many of these bodies set up and they're in charge and they're objecting to each other, Jerry, which is highly unusual to have one state body appealing or making observations on the plans of another. We're at sea. It's like having a new car and no wheels under it. We have the wherewithal. The housing crisis, the only way to have more houses is to build more houses. We have the people to do that. Yeah. And I feel if the private sector were given a small bit more of a chance, they'd do it for us. And the cost would be less, because you wouldn't have a judicial review, cost you €1 million, etc., as well as the state doing their part. But the length of time it takes to do anything in this country, sure, to be honest, you'd want to be the patience of St. Job for to see through the planning process in the likes of the Shannon LNG. They're the best people in the world to stay coming back and trying to get there, because, and we're talking about private investment, etc. At some point, yeah, they'd have to say, look, we'll go to Germany, we'll go to China, we'll go to Canada and New Zealand, countries that have, that are, seem to be far ahead of us. Now, and I've read recently about New Zealand, Jerry. They're trying to deregulate themselves and bring themselves back into normal fashion. And if we look how far we've come, probably, in 40 years. Monsignor Horton, when he was building Knock Airport, was actually, had he planning permission, etc., in place. And his answer was, we'll be sorting that out now as we go along. So we've came an awful long way from that. And I'm not saying that's right either, by the way. But
no,
I'm saying
no,
that
I understand
that. Kind of a middle ground. But
we need to get on.
Could argue that Knock Airport shouldn't be there today. You know, that has...
Yeah. Yeah.
We do need
that's
projects.
an example of what you're talking about. Okay, John, I don't know who find it to you. John Collison's got a lot of criticism from different quarters saying it's going down the Elon Musk Doge road. This is another tech broad idea. I'll get in there. You can't run a government the same way as you run a private company. But we seem to have gone too far down there. What about that urgency question? At every level, local authority, agency, NGO, whatever you're calling it, TII, the EPA, the length of time that things are allowed to drift across the system. Is that what a minister should have the power to do? Or even a councillor to say, sorry, no, that's just too long. We don't need a second public consultation process 6 months later to figure out what the public think of the draft of whatever development it is. We need to cut all that out and be able to exert pressure on people. to get things done faster.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is, I suppose, we'd often have heard the old joke about the biggest shock a minister gets when they begin their role for the first time is to find out that it's actually civil servants that run the department. But I think a lot of this lack of urgency is due to the fact that, I suppose, when you have unelected bureaucrats making so many of these decisions, they're faceless. I mean, the other councillors there this morning are after mentioning the NGOs. We would struggle to name the NGOs, much less who's working in them. Yeah. So it is almost impossible to hold them to account, because you actually don't know who you're talking to. It's just a scribble at the end of a sheet, and it's completely wrong. And I think that you're after mentioning the Minister for Health there, who hauled the head of the HSE over the coals.
Well, I'll give you an example. Simon Harris, speaking about this, thoughtful and thought-provoking piece on John Collison. Too many layers, too many structures, processes that take too long. Time for the pendulum to swing back. This will be a big part of my work and focus with colleagues in the months ahead. Streamlining processes, cutting through red tape and speeding up delivery must be at the core of all we do. So is that the job of Micheál Martin, Simon Harris, Minister Jennifer Carroll McNeill or whoever, or the next government to do that?
Yeah, I suppose... Is that going to happen now, do you think? This is something that has obviously happened under successive governments, but the only ones who can change the procedure are the current government or whoever happens to be in at any given time. Will it change? We will wait and see, I suppose. I've watched successive governments now talk about reviews and needing to take learnings and lessons being learnt and all of this, and we're in the same position that we have always been in, probably getting worse. So I do hope that Simon Harris will stick to his word and that they will sort this out. But I suppose the big problem with this is I haven't seen them mention anything that they're going to do yet, but invariably the first thing they're going to do is set up a committee to review. And like, this is it's a black hole.
Instead of giving more power to local authorities, maybe is one of the first things they could do to try and get things delivered, like, locally, as the point was made by Mickey Shee. Okay, we're out of time on that. My thanks to all of you for taking a look at it and giving us your view as councillors and your experience over the last number of years. Plenty of food for thought out of all levels of that debate. If you have a view on what Councillor John O'Donoghue, Councillor Johnny Healyway, Councillor Michael Foley or Councillor Mickey Shee had to say, a view on the wider question of how we deliver things in this country, and I suppose fair point to say as well in relation to this, we'll get into more details on that in the next hour. Lots of your comments to get to, lots more on the way after we take these.